Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister.
Take your Wellingtons off, children, and Mammy will tell you a pleasant story.
Good evening. It's Kevin Factor here, foraging ahead with a couple of people I love dearly in the studio with me for Christmas Eve. Eric Fixler and my dear wife, Janet, who will be a silent presence this evening. We're doing a Christmas Eve show. And
I'm here for Christmas.
You're
I'm
here for
all,
Christmas.
I'm all in.
You're all in for Christmas.
I'm all in for Christmas.
It's a season of giving.
Yeah, I gave.
You gave?
I'm still giving. I gave.
What did you give?
Some more. I gave some guilt.
Guilt?
I gave some praise.
Who'd you praise?
I gave some cash. I praised my daughter today.
Oh, very nice.
I did. Although I actually found that it was yesterday. I praised her again today, but
well, that's a lot.
I had to really think a lot about how to create positive reinforcement with my kids for the habits that I want them to do, for the things that I don't have to yell about. So I texted on a group chain praising my daughter, and it turned out the entire point was lost on everyone. So it had no effect. I did also buy some gifts. Bought some lovely gifts. Mostly for Hanukkah, I should confess, even though the radio is, there's no, you can't see. Could you see and would you know that I'm
they
Jewish?
Could hear
I'm actually
I could,
Jewish.
I could hear it, yeah.
You can hear it.
I could hear it.
You can hear the Jew in my voice. But I'm still, like I said, I was supposed to be at a Christmas celebration tonight. I'm not at the Christmas celebration tonight, so I'm all here for Christmas.
It's all part of the plan. All part of the plan
all
is to have
Jesus
you here
plan.
With me
yeah.
in the studio
yeah.
on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, word.
It is.
Yeah, that's good.
So as a non-Christian,
yes.
What has been your understanding of the whole Christmas saga? Like, is there a takeaway that people raised in a sort of Orthodox faith get from like, just everybody's doing the Christmas except, you know, obviously Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists and Zoroastrians and.
So, yeah, I think it's actually a really interesting question. And I think that maybe, I don't know if this is or isn't multicultural, actually, but I think, you know, growing up Jewish and growing up in a reasonably observant environment, a lot of our focus was to not assimilate and to have our own culture. So actually, you know, even I would think like that culture was maybe was not opposed to like the national holidays, but even those were a little bit more ambivalent. But Christianity, Christmas, I mean, we think of it as Jesus' birthday. I don't even mean we Jews. I mean, it's like that is kind of the pretty official like tagline of the holiday. So I think that that was sort of looked at.
Yeah, among others.
So
yeah.
I think that that was the sort of thing that was looked at that was, you know, that preserving like, I don't think it's necessarily just Jewish, but part of preserving Jewish culture and holidays is like there's only, true or not, the view is that there's only finite room for holidays, finite room for customs. So, like, you could probably argue that everything can be additive, and I think a lot of people do argue that today. But I would say that out of all the holidays in the year, Christmas is in many ways probably the most problematic for observant or somewhat observant Jews because it feels so unavoidable and like such a steamroller of gifts and kindness. And, you know, we got to really watch out for that steamroller of gifts and kindness.
The steamroller of gifts and kindness.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, have you ever dug into the story of the birth of Jesus?
Tell me more.
I'll tell you a little bit. So, I don't know. I was looking at it, trying to find some sort of angle on which to hang some of the music that mm-hmm. we're going to play tonight. No Christmas music at all.
Then why are we playing it?
Well, because thematically, I felt like it fits with my idiosyncratic reading, but not just mine, of the birth of Jesus, right? Which is, of course, Greek for Joshua.
Yehoshua. Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah.
No,
I'm
it
with
is
you.
Greek.
I'm
it's
with
Greek.
You. Oh, it's Greek. Yeah.
I'm just laying that out there. Right.
So we're not going to talk about the virgin birth, is what you're saying. If you're going to say, when you ask me, what is the story of Christmas? Like, that's like my first.
That's Fakata.
But tell
me. It's Meshuggah. The virgin birth is, you know, it's why, right? It's miraculous. Birth is miraculous enough, right? Frankly, you've been at the birth of your children.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's rather miraculous. I don't know that there needs to be another miraculous element added to that. However, but the story is really a continuation of the Jewish story, you know, in a
How
lot
so?
Of ways.
How so?
Well, so the sojourner, right? The stranger, the traveler, the person, you know, without a home, right? I mean, the fact that he was born in Bethlehem on his way, you know, they couldn't fit, you know, there. That's a very Jewish story, right?
I don't really understand the whole thing about Bethlehem because I think about it and Nazareth, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, wherever. They're all part of the Roman protectorate of Palestine.
Right.
I don't think there are like checkpoints. I don't think there are passports.
No.
So what's the big deal about Bethlehem?
Well, the Bethlehem. So if you're going to have a Messiah,
you know what Bethlehem means, by the way, right? Beit Lechem, house of bread.
House of bread.
Yes, the house of bread.
Yeah.
It's not the house of pancakes. He was trying to get to the house of pancakes.
Yeah.
And he was very disappointed.
Right.
Yeah.
Bet Lahop would have been,
and just
covered Jesus in syrup.
Yeah.
But you needed, if you're going to have a Messiah,
yeah.
All right, and he's going to be Jewish, which he was initially, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's... He
has to be from the house of David.
He's Jewish his whole life. I think that's very controversial.
But, okay, well, I have a joke for that later. But,
okay.
But he had to be from the house of David, right?
Yeah.
That's where the Messiah is going to come from.
House of pancakes.
Right. Nazareth is in the wrong area.
Uh-huh.
Right? The tribal divisions of Israel, the 12 tribes, is not...
So they were doing
it's
like
not an, from the house of David. They literally had to.
They were doing like an anchor baby thing.
They had to do an anchor baby thing, and they had to sort of literally gerrymander Jesus into the house of David.
I love it.
So
I totally love that story now.
Because there's no records, and the Romans were fabulous record keepers.
Yeah,
you know,
they
among
were.
Other things, they come
were.
Up with great executions and like aqueducts and records.
Yeah,
and there was no record of a
also,
census.
Also, arches, dude. Amazing arches.
They're fabulous, but that's another
stadiums.
Show. That's another show.
Okay.
This is not about the Romans. This is about...
Wait, did Romans keep their records on, like, stone tablets or, like, papyrus or, like, animal skins? Like, what did they use to keep their records on? I'm just curious.
That's a good question.
We don't know. Okay, go on. Sorry.
I don't know.
Off topic. Sorry.
But there's records of almost everything else they did, right?
I don't know that's true either. I think the historical... I mean, honestly, the historical record for the entire like Jewish period in Palestine, Judea, whatever we're going to call it, is remarkably shallow. I mean, is there this, like, a little mention in Flavius Josephus?
Well, but he was Jewish.
Okay, I'm saying, but do we really have a lot of, outside the Gospels,
there is.
Do we have any,
no,
like,
there is,
third, we
there
don't have,
is.
Like, a third-party verification?
There is. I'll dig a little deeper into that.
All right, anyway, go on.
But anyway, but I like the sort of the meta reading of that as well, because you have, like, in addition to, like, the stranger fitting in, not fitting in to this land that they've come to, right?
Oh, wait, are we going to play Billy Joel's The Stranger tonight?
No.
Sad.
But the actual story itself is an attempt to fit this birth narrative into the greater narrative of the coming of the Jewish Messiah.
Is that what Billy Joel's The Stranger is about?
I think it is.
Cool.
I think it is. I think
he had a brief fling. You see the stranger, right?
Mm.
I wish so many secrets.
But this is the season of giving. We need to do better at welcoming the stranger.
I agree.
And those who are lost and wandering. So I'm going to actually, I feel like we should get to some music. If
the
that's
stranger.
All right with you. No, there's no Billy Joel. There's no Billy Joel. But there is.
We can share so many secrets. There are some we'll never tell.
There is Ralph Stanley.
Okay.
Who is the Billy Joel of bluegrass.
All right, bring it.
I wandered again to my home in the mountains, where you surely dawn as happy and free. I look for my friends, but I never could find them. I found they were all.
I have a question.
Yeah, go on.
Rank stranger.
Rank stranger.
What does that mean?
Rank. Complete. Total. Huh. Yeah.
Rank. Not like a smelly stranger.
No. I think that's is rank. Rank stranger is a total, unadorned.
I guess that phrase has kind of fallen out of usage.
Leviticus says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger.
It would have been nice if they would have just stopped at do him. That would have been cool.
Can I finish with the Bible quote?
Sure.
Thank you. Jesus. But you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you,
yeah.
and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land
Word.
Of Egypt. You know, that's foundational, right? And we seem to not do that except this time of year, right?
No, well, I mean, that's a big part of Passover for you know, people who celebrate Passover. But, yeah, like, our Stranger Game's not amazing these days. I would not disagree with that.
I mean, but that goes back to...
Here. So some places the Stranger Game is pretty high. The U.S., I think, is extra low on Stranger Game. Stranger Danger is more the game in the
extra
U.S.
Extra low on Stranger Danger?
Extra low on Stranger Game and extra high on Stranger Danger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of... It's ironic and tragic. Truly.
It's tragic. How is it ironic?
It's ironic because this entire nation is settled by you know, by immigrants and strangers, right?
Point.
We're all strangers in this land, right? And there's no American, unless you're Native American, who can't trace their ancestors, you know, a couple generations, some not even that long ago to, you know, coming to a strange land and being a stranger.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm first generation. What's up?
You're first generation.
First generation,
right?
First generation born U.S.
You know, I'm what, third, fourth. Uh-huh. You know, on one side, but then on the other side, it's, you know, embarrassingly.
Mayflower baby.
Yeah. we do not a very good job at that. And
true. This, tragic.
I mean, but the whole story of humanity, you know, from the Bible's point of view, is that we're all looking for a home, right? I mean, our original home.
Is that the story of humanity in the Bible?
I mean,
how
in
so?
A nutshell, I mean, that's what I always tell people when they ask me,
Hey,
what's the Bible about? I say, you know, it's just like the boll weevil. We're looking for a home.
I have to wrap my head around that. I'm not let me think about that.
Okay,
continue.
Think about it for a second. I mean, like Adam and Eve, they had a really nice place.
But they were not looking for a home. They had a nice home, but because like nothing was ever good enough for them, they kind of blew it.
Right. And then they're looking for a home. I mean, but literally from the beginning, like there's human beings are refugees, right? Mm. Human beings are being cast out from their home. Cain, you know,
who else gets cast out of their home in the Bible?
Mistake.
Other
Cain
than
makes
the Jews.
A little mistake.
Does no one else gets no one else in a way that like is important to the Bible gets
Cain?
Cast out.
I'm talking Cain. Cain, he made one mistake.
But he's a villain.
Well, one mistake, right?
It was a pretty big mistake.
It's a big mistake.
it was kind of a bad one. It was kind of significant.
It's a human story, you know.
Human story.
And we tend to forget that in these times. I mean, according to the UN, there's probably more than that, but 25 million refugees worldwide.
Are we going to play the Tom Petty song?
No. all right, let's do that.
We don't have to. It's okay.
Ain't no real big secret, all the same. Somehow we tied up, taken away and held for ransom.
No, you don't have to live like a refugee. But we're lucky. We're lucky in that way that we don't.
Hey, let's tell people, if they're just tuning in, who we are.
Yes, this is Foraging Ahead, and you're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio, radio for open ears.
In the basement of the Hudson Presbyterian Church.
That's true. We're in the basement of the Hudson Presbyterian Church, and it's the season of giving.
Yeah, you know, season of giving.
It's the season of giving, and I think
COVID.
People should give to the.
I gave COVID
to the radio station. You give COVID.
Yeah, I gave COVID.
Well, I mean, something. You don't have to give everything, but you know, this is a time of year where, you know, I like seeing the look on the faces, you know, of the people who are, you know, work in the checkout counters, and when they ask me if I want to donate to this food fund or Christmas or children's fund, you know, and I say no.
You're that guy. I mean, I'm that guy too.
But why are you that guy?
Because I don't actually believe that money is getting where it says it's going. I feel like somewhere in between
there. You think these large supermarket chains are skimming?
I feel like Stewart's or Tops or whomever.
I think Stewart's probably, but I don't know that we can actually slam large corporations on air.
Oh, really?
On Christmas. I mean,
I don't know that they do. I'm just saying it's my fear and belief that, but I'm not saying I know to be clear.
Right. What percentage, if you knew that, like, 95% of the money that you gave, you know, if when you rounded up for this or that, if 95% of it you knew for a fact,
okay, so I've probably
was given to the people that they were asking for.
So one of the convenient things about this is that I've never had to fully think through the entire chain of events that might happen after that money went through. But let me ask you a question. Let us take the Toys for Tots, for example.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, like, is it going to be crap toys or good toys? Like, what are they going to give people? Is it going to be, like, some, like, plastic crap? Is it going to be, like, racist crap? Is it going to be, like, educational?
Plastic,
or is it going to be, like, what? Like, I mean, maybe I shouldn't think about that, and maybe it's not right to think about
that.
But I haven't even kind of gone through to thinking about, why would I trust you to get something good
for
somebody
else? Well, I feel like there's
else.
Toys for Tots, but then there should also be sort of, like, universal pre-K for Tots.
And
I feel like that would be a better gift.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of, like, structure things like everything you get is, like, a gift and you should be thankful for it. Maybe it should be a right. To be fair, I don't know if toys should be a right, but universal pre-K should probably be a right.
Yeah, well, but I think, like, that's, you know, and that's why the cashiers love see me coming. Are we moving on now?
No. You said cashier, so I felt like ringing the bell.
You just have a bell. You can't control yourself.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, at Matthew, I'm gonna go to the Christian Bible now.
Yeah.
He said, "For I was hungry and you gave me food.
Nice.
I was thirsty and you gave me drink.
Yes.
I had no toys and you gave me toys."
He did not say that.
No, it doesn't say that. But it does say, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me."
Right. Welcome, Matt.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that, right? Feeding the hungry, giving people something to drink when they're thirsty, and welcoming
should be non-controversial.
It should not be controversial. Well, that's the thing. There's another one from Matthew, which is one of my favorites. Is it, if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others?
He did not really rhyme that, did he?
I mean, yeah, I think it rhymes. I mean, the original English rhymes. If
I wonder what language is that originally written in? Latin?
No, Greek.
Greek.
The New Testament is almost exclusively in Greek.
I wonder if it rhymed in Greek.
Or Aramaic.
I mean, do you think the translator would have, like, taken that from the Aramaic or the Greek? Like, would they have rolled
in? This is
in
for
a
an
rhyme?
American audience, you know, so I don't, you know.
It's very hip-hop. Like, I had never really considered that before.
But the Greek that it was used was a pretty basic Greek, actually, which is why it's often used or was used in the classical translations in schools.
Interesting.
Because it was basic, because people were literate. There was a great deal of literacy at the time, but they weren't that literate, you know. They were so.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just, well, because it's people, right?
People. Yeah.
But if I could finish this, this quote.
Really?
Yeah, I'd like to.
You would?
If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Yeah, it's hard. Do not even the Gentiles do the same, right? Loving your father and your mother and your sister, that's easy. Everybody does that. You don't get a bonus. You don't get a star for that. You know, what's hard is loving the people that, you know, That do you wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a spiritual work, you know, and this baby came in to help us with that. So we're going to move on. Another. I just love this song. And
what song is it going to be?
Is it
going to be Billy Joel finally?
No. We're not doing any Billy Joel.
I'm going to keep asking for it until you agree to play it.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me Israelite, sir. Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
It's Desmond Dekker with Israelites, continuing our theme this evening of sojourners, refugees.
It's also, you know, Desmond Dekker's band is the Israelites, so it's Desmond Dekker and the Israelites with the Israelites. Yeah. They might truncate it on there, but it's Desmond.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, okay.
So you wanted to give a couple shout-outs to some friends?
I want to give a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to Blitzen, give another shout out to Donner. What's up, Donner? Shout out to Cupid and Comet and Vixen, Prancer, Dancer, Dasher, Romancer. And finally, late to the party, I just found this out tonight, newsflash, Rudolph. Rudolph, not an original member of the Reindeers.
No.
But joined in later on.
Did you ever watch that growing up, the Christmas specials?
Falls into the same category, frowned upon. All that stuff,
really?
Very frowned upon. Yeah.
Even though basically that has absolutely nothing to do with. Have you ever seen it?
It's no.
You've never seen it?
No, I mean, I think that it's, in all seriousness, like, it's a cultural juggernaut. I do think it's fair, like, the idea that all of this stuff is a cultural juggernaut, and it was kind of like, that was over there for other people, not for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, no, I've never seen it. I don't really know. And I'll Rudolph, I mean, you just know, like, just from osmosis, Rudolph's got, like, red nose.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little drunky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shiny. Mm-hmm.
And
a
yarmulke,
up,
actually.
He lights the way up for the
other reindeer. He had a yarmulke. And,
sweet.
And,
super sweet.
He was playing with his dreidel. And
and he got stolen. Exactly.
He basically got converted.
He got converted
and
assimilated.
The red nose is a giveaway.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
We're gonna move on. Hang on, I think we have a call. We have a phone call.
Hang on a second.
We're gonna try this.
Oh my god, if we can figure it out, let's go. Let's see. Caller, this is WGXC.
Hello.
Nope, this phone's still ringing.
Hang on, we get it. Oh, yeah.
All right. This is the real radio.
Oh no! Come on.
Caller. Caller one, nope.
I think it's still not working.
Sorry, caller.
Right.
Caller.
Try it one more time.
Caller. We can't pick up the phone. We'd like to. Now the ringing has stopped.
Oh, I'm sorry, caller, we failed. I'm so sorry. Caller, if you're just like a random caller, you could just text me whatever question you have.
Oh, what a good idea.
We could read it over the air. Terribly sorry. Maybe Santa will give us a working call line or me some competence at working the board.
You got to give out the number then, though, if he or she's going to text you, or they?
No, he's got my number. It was a total plant.
Oh, it was a shill?
Yeah. Well, now the jig is up.
Well, I think that the other people listening would have figured that out, too. Mm-hmm. We don't want to underestimate your audience.
No. All right. So here I got another.
Billy Joel.
No,
finally?
No. Billy Joel. No Billy Joel. This is a Billy Joel free zone. But this is one of my favorite Woody Guthrie classic. And someone's calling again.
This is a broke-ass radio station. Phone don't work. Sorry.
There's a man that traveled through the land, hard-working man and brave. He said to the rich, give your goods to the poor. So they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Yes, Jesus was a man, a carpenter by hand, his followers true and brave. One dirty coward called Judas Iscariot has laid poor Jesus in his grave. He went to the preacher, he went to the sheriff, told them all the same. Sell all of your jewelry and give it to the poor. So they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. When Jesus come to town, the working folks around believed what he did say. The bankers and the preachers, they nailed him on a cross and they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Now the working people followed him around, sang and shouted gay. But the cops and soldiers nailed him in the air, and they laid Jesus Christ in his grave. Well, the people held their breath when they heard about his death. Everybody wondered why. It was the landlord and the soldiers that he hired to nail Jesus Christ in the sky. This song was made in New York City of rich man's and preachers and slaves. If Jesus was to preach like he preached in Galilee, they would lay Jesus Christ in his grave. Yes, Jesus was a man and a carpenter by hand, his followers true and brave. One dirty coward called Judas Iscariot has laid poor Jesus in his grave.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic, that one.
Caller Doug called while we were listening to that. Uh-huh. I talked to Caller Doug. We're able to actually talk to him on the telephone. We just can't put his telephone on the radio. It may have been fortunate that that we could not patch Caller Doug through, because apparently after calling us, his smoke alarm went off because he burned in the roast. I forgot to ask him what kind of roast it is. Is it like a rib roast? Like, is there a special roast for Christmas?
People do turkeys and apparently cranberries as well.
But when you say a roast, it's not a turkey. When you say a roast, it's beef, right?
Is it really?
Is it? That's what I think, right?
It could be a ham roast or pork roast. I don't know. I think of roast beef, probably a beef. Probably beef.
Probably beef. I mean, it should be pork, because that was like, Jesus was like, I want pork. Jesus is like, enough of this. I want pork. And I kind of get it. Like, I mean, understanding Christianity through that lens, I get it. Like,
having to do all the hard things.
I mean, I'm not even trying to be that expansive. I'm merely saying, like, probably the first pork I had was spare ribs. I was like, no, that stuff's good. It's like, it's really rich.
Oh, yeah.
It's fatty. It's tasty.
You know the joke, the priest and a rabbi are on a long flight to this is me doing that.
Okay.
They were on a long flight to Europe. They happened to sit next to each other and they're chatting, and they're getting along very, very well. Oh. And they're getting a little deep, you know, as two men of God can do sometimes.
Yes.
And the priest says, you don't eat pork, you don't eat anything from the pig. And the rabbi says, yes, that's correct. And the priest says, well, have you ever had bacon? And he says, well, you know, before I felt called to God, when I was a young boy, I had some Gentile friends, and I was over for breakfast, and it was rude not to eat what was being served. And,
yeah, of course.
And there was, and I, they had, they served me bacon. And the priest said, well, what, you know, what'd you think? And he goes, it was really good. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
So they keep chatting away, and then the rabbi says to the priest, says, so tell me, like, you have taken a vow of chastity, is that right? And the priest says,
chastity.
Well, yeah. And he said, but tell me, did you ever know a woman in that sense, you know, before you took your vows? And the priest said, well, yeah, when I was a young man, I did know a woman in the biblical sense.
Biblical.
And the rabbi said, it's a lot better than bacon, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. I suppose if you had to choose, I would make the same choice.
You do choice. Have to choose. It's either bacon or sex.
You do?
Yeah.
Everyone has to choose?
No.
Or just me?
Just in this joke.
Okay.
Just
I
in
see.
This joke.
I see.
Seeing as how for some, this is the birth of the Prince of Peace, I thought we'd do a song, not necessarily about the Prince of Peace, but about
Price of Peace?
about the price of peace, and also about people's attitudes towards peace. You know, we're very aggressive people in this country.
We are.
Right?
I agree.
We like putting people down. We like humiliating people. You know, and every now and then it's like, oh, it's not cool. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, classic story of a bully, right?
Rudolph is a bully?
Totally.
I had no idea.
And this is the thing, like, if this was a school, if you're talking about a school situation, yeah. Right, if you have the story of Rudolph, and I'll
what is the story of Rudolph?
I'll quickly tell you, right?
Quickly tell me.
So Rudolph has got a red nose that glows, right? And he is tormented mercilessly. You know, his father, like, disowns him, like, people, like, give him a hard time, right? And then he gets, like, he goes.
Excuse me.
He has to leave, like he can't take it. You know,
he's like a leper. He's like an outcast.
He's an outcast. He's a leper. Right.
I understand that. Right. Actually, I would do the same thing.
Yeah. And so he goes off on these adventures, you know, and meets an abominable snowman, and you know,
cool.
But and this elf who doesn't fit in, and you know, so all of these outcasts, right, is. Huh. Rudolph collects all these outcasts.
I don't know any of this.
Who are equally bullied, right? Yeah. People mocked them, made fun of them, right? And the power structure that existed at the time, like, was perfectly acceptable, right? So at the end, you know, the great feel-good ending isn't that, like, Rudolph is accepted because of his disability. It's that his disability actually comes in handy for this job they want to do. So then only when he's useful to them, like for this thing that he does, do they then bring him back in, you know? And it's like, oh, they didn't recognize. But, like, nobody's chastised. There's no self-reflection, you know? It's a total, you know, and...
It's kind of interesting. There's a parallel metaphor in, like, Jewish prayer that's, like, sung, like, kind of a major song that you always sing on holidays. I'll try to translate it into English. So it's like, you know, back in the day, you know, they built arches.
Is it a long song?
No. Well, I'm not going to, yeah. Oh. But it's just this one sentence. But you know how they built arches and, you know, all the stones in the arch are the same except for the stone that comes right in the top, which is like weirdly shaped, and you just have to like get the right stone to kind of hold everything together, the keystone. So the line in the song is that the stone that was like hated or like scorned by the builders ended up being like the keystone. Like that's a very similar metaphor to what
right.
you said about Rudolph.
So the hatred of the other is what holds us all together.
That is true too. Common enemies are a very strong power.
I know. This country's been adrift since the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
You know, we need.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
it's true.
And Ronald Reagan, may he burn in hell, actually once said, if aliens came to invade, humanity would unite, and that's really what we need.
He's right about that. It's funny because that is like a major premise in a lot of like science fiction or futuristic
Absolutely. We
movies.
Need an existential threat from the outside, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Yeah, not. So anyway,
as I walk on through troubled times. spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. So where I strung and who I trusted, and where is the harmony, sweet harmony? 'Cause each time I feel it slip away, just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
Elvis Costello here on WGXC. I'm Eric Fixler here with Kevin Factor, and I want to let you know that it is 6:47 p.m. We'll be with you until 7. At 7, Alana Medlock brings you there, excursions into music, soundscape, audio, document, and spoken word, inspired by the wide world of performance live from Ulster County. So stay tuned for Alana with there at 7.
That was very nicely done.
Oh, I thank you.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever done that.
It's a nice thing to do.
It's
courteous.
It is. It's courteous. It's almost like
it's
a
almost
gift.
Informative. It's actually it's like a piece of. It's my. I don't know Alana Medlock, but it is my.
She's lovely. Alana's lovely.
It's my Christmas gift to Alana Medlock.
She's lovely. She's a person. Yeah. She.
Are you just saying that, or is it true?
I can do both. No, she's a lovely. She's lovely. I think she was a manager here a while back.
Interesting.
Yeah. And she got her show, and yeah. So many people have come together for this community, and the times these seasonal darkness and these historical dark times that we seem to be in. You need community, right? I mean, we take solace and refuge in each other, right?
Mm.
You know. Tonight is the Feast of the Seven Fishes, for some people, maybe just one person. I think he's doing his own personal thing, which is a Sicilian thing.
I thought we're going to like a Feast of
Seven
Fishes.
We're going to go Feast of Seven Fishes. Yeah.
I'm still like, I want to know what the fishes are.
I think it's kind of like surprise.
Is it seven of the same fish or seven different fishes?
No, it has
fishes?
To be seven different fish.
It's different fish or and different fishes?
What
do you say? Is it different
there
fish
are seven different fishes.
Fishes. I'm just trying to. What's the plural? What's the correct plural?
I mean,
okay, it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Seven fishes. I think seven fishes means different kinds of fish.
Is this like, I know there's fish, some you could have like Jesus, seven, like seven,
you could have seven
thing?
Of the same ones.
Like, what? This is like connected with some Jesus miracle?
Yeah, well, the loaves and the fish.
All right, it's like that stuff becomes infinite. Is that how it works?
Well, it doesn't become infinite. I mean. It could have if there was an infinite amount of people that needed feeding, you know, but like a good Jewish mother, like there was all these people that came to see his performance, and and he ran late and they were hungry,
yeah,
and they had like I think it's seven, I think fish and a few, like a loaf of bread, a couple loaves of bread. I don't remember the numbers exactly. And they're like, what are we going to do? And he said, go out and give it to all the people. And they're like, all right, you know, and they did.
That happened to me once at Barclays. I was at a Nets game, super hungry, and Chick-fil-A gave me two Chick-fil-A's by accident.
It's a miracle. It was a miracle. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, probably, you know, 100 years or so from now, there'll be the feast of the two Chick-fil-A's, right?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I mean, to be honest, that's actually...
I have to say, it's very relatable. Very relatable miracle.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love this miracle.
People are hungry. You got to feed them.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and just, like, and give. Give, give, give.
And it's like, that's the thing. They always need to eat again. Like, three more hours go by, they need to eat again. Like, who can keep making them dinner? Like, hunting. Growing, cooking. So, yeah. It's like the Star Trek replicator in, like, Jesus time.
Well, that's what they modeled the replicator on.
Yeah, I know. It sounds amazing. It's such a good idea. It's such a good idea.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, honestly, if we somehow did invent a replicator, that they would be patented and...
yeah, it's true.
And Elon Musk would run it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
it's true.
Well...
We have more music? Is it Billy Joel time yet?
No, it's never going to be Billy Joel time.
It's time for Billy. That's what the bell says.
I feel like no. We're gonna go out with some. You know, like
we're gonna go out in style.
Again, part of the story of Christmas. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, baby Jesus. Right.
Yeah.
Where do we fit in? You know, and some people just don't fit in.
Us specifically, or like everybody who's
people?
Where
do we fit? Where do we fit in the scheme of things in God's plan? Or if you don't believe in it, what plan can you come up with?
I mean, it's like 8 minutes left because it's a fascinating like launch point.
Well, I think our gift.
You think God has a plan?
Our gift to our audience is
thinking about this stuff.
Is thinking about this stuff.
Yeah,
and
I hear
you know, anger that we didn't speak more clearly, or
it's big questions. Deeply. Big questions.
Yeah, big questions. But you know, some people reject it all, and all they need is like a. You know, I think this is one of my favorite Christmas songs.
What is it?
Oh shoot. Sorry.
What's it going to be?
Hang on. What was it? It's.
Come on. We got to say something. We got to talk.
Oh, no.
Okay. I'll talk.
Talk.
Yeah. So I guess this song, whatever it is going to help us answer the question of whether there's a plan or a purpose or intentional design, or whether we are all just kind of here on this accidental evolutionary journey and we don't know where it goes.
And like Christianity itself, it is a syncretic song, a mixture of several genres.
Feel special on any such a light. Said James to Red Molly, my hat's off to you. It's a Vincent Black Lightning 1952. And I've seen you at the corners and cafes, it seems. Red hair and black leather, my favorite color scheme. And he pulled from behind and down to Knoxville. Dangerous man. I've fought with the law since I was 17. I robbed many a man to get my Vincent machine. Now I'm 21 years, I might make 22. And I don't mind dying, but for the love of you. And if fate should break my stride, then I'll give you my Vincent. Thank you. left. He was running out of road, he was running out of breath. But he smiled as she heard cry. Said, I'll give you my Vincent to ride. Said, James, in my opinion, there's nothing in this world beats a 52 Vincent and a red-headed girl. Now Nortons and Indians and Greases won't do. Ah, they don't have a soul like a Vincent 52. He reached for her hand and he slipped her the keys. Said, I don't have any further use for these. I see angels on aerials in leather and chrome, trooping down from heaven to carry me home. And he gave me one last kiss and died. And he gave her his Vincent to ride.
All right, that was Del McCrory doing a Richard Thompson cover, Vincent, 1952 Vincent Black Lightning. Just about a rebel, an outlaw, dangerous man. He couldn't fit in. He couldn't fit in at all. We do have an update on the roast. I know people are probably wondering about that.
No doubt.
Apparently the roast is Elf.
That's a troll.
What?
That's a troll.
You don't think that's real?
I think we're being trolled. Yeah, I do. I think we're trolling people too. But yeah, okay, it's roast Elf.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but it didn't. Did it? How bad did it burn? Do we know?
I don't know. I mean, is it?
I mean, it's funny calling a roast Elf a troll, but I mean the troll in the figurative sense, not in the literal sense. But
oh, so you don't think it, you think it's not actually an elf?
I don't know. Yeah. And I did want to add one thing. You asked me
go
before
on.
We got on there.
Go on.
I wanted to just close with probably. Maybe not the right thought to close on, but I was saying about the Messiah that came to mind today.
Mm.
The most essential thing about the Messiah, or the most important thing about the Messiah, or
what
the,
is it?
Is that they never come. It's that
what?
They never get here. They're always on the way.
Oh,
something to look forward to.
But apparently, but. I mean, can you tell people that?
I don't know. Can you? I mean, are we living in the Messianic era? Clearly, we must be waiting for. We're clearly not living in a Messianic era, unless I missed something major. Right?
I don't know. Well, maybe it's not historical. Maybe it's personal.
Ooh, I don't like that at all.
You don't like that at all.
I don't like the like it's all about me kind of thing. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder why you don't fit in here. All right.
All right, take us out, Kevin.
All right. So this is another example of being away from home and figuring out where you fit in and how you could fit in. And I love this is one of the most beautiful songs.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. Everybody, you have a great Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. And be good and generous and kind.
Be good to each other.